As you can see, the topic under consideration this morning is the question, are you truly ready? It's a question that we often ask each other in our day-to-day walk in life. It's a question that we should ask ourselves and each other in our spiritual life as well. It's an important question, and it's one that's used often in a worldly and physical sense. But tonight, or this morning, we want to put the main emphasis on our spiritual life and spiritual questions that we can ask each other throughout our walks of life to uplift and also to check our faith and see if we are doing the things that we ought to do. I remember as a kid being asked several times, are you ready to get a whooping? And that one was pretty hard to wrap my mind around because I was a very good kid and I didn't see the need to be ready for something ever like that to happen. However, going out through life, the question changes quite a bit. In middle school and high school, as you know, if you consider yourself an athlete or an FFA or something like that, everybody always asks, are you ready for the game or are you ready for the judging contest, whatever the case may be. We're always getting asked, are you truly ready? And this morning we're going to talk about some spiritual questions that we can ask each other. I think it's important that we ask each other these things. And I want you to notice as you go out through life, the question, are you ready, changes. But in your spiritual life, you can ask yourself these questions, whether you're a 13-year-old Christian or you're 70, 80, 90 years old. You can ask yourself these things at any time in your life, and they don't change. And so it's important that we make sure that we ask ourselves this question and that we ask each other as well. The main verse this morning is Mark chapter 14 and verse number 38. Mark chapter 14 and verse 38. Jesus says, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Here we see that Jesus is teaching his disciples. He's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's about to be betrayed by Judas, and he's about to be offered up for crucifixion. And while he's going up to pray, his disciples keep falling asleep because it's late at night, and Jesus is having these long prayers with God, and he wanted them to be with him. But they kept falling asleep, and he told them to watch and to pray, unless you enter into temptation. And he said, the spirit truly is ready. So what do you think of when you think of truly ready? Well, I know that when I study for tests for college, there seems to be a lot more of those than in high school. But while I'm studying for these tests, I'll kind of give myself an estimate. I'll give myself a grade, whether or not I'm ready. And most of the time, I want to get to at least a C or a B. I'm thinking, well, if I took the test right now, I'd make a C. You know, that wouldn't be too bad. But a lot of the times I'll look at if I'm ready or not, and I'll say, well, I'll probably fail this test. I don't know. And certainly we don't want to do that in our spiritual lives. We don't want to give ourselves a D or a fail. We don't really even want a C or a B in our Christian walk. We should always strive for excellence. We should strive for that A. And so when you think of truly ready, I want you to set the standard high this morning. I want you to set the standard of excellency, of being an excellent Christian and doing everything that you can in order to do so. So as we ask these different questions, as we look at these different aspects of our Christian life, I want you to kind of give yourself a grade, if you will, on how you think you're doing in these certain areas. The first question we're going to ask is, are you ready to every good work? Titus chapter 3, verse number 1 says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Here Paul is telling Titus to make sure the brethren are ready to obey their powers, the government, their bosses, whatever the case may be. And he also includes that they're ready to every good work. It's kind of interesting that, you know, he adds putting in every good work with obeying the government or that type of thing. So do you think it's important that we should be ready to do good works for others around us? That answer is quite obvious. It's yes. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 and 18 says, "Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate." Here it's quite obvious that we are not to put our trust in uncertain riches or the things of this world. If you're living your life putting your trust in your house or your vehicles, you're making a pretty big mistake, because those things are uncertain. They won't last forever, but God lasts forever. Jesus lasts forever, and that's who He tells us to put our trust in. And in doing good things and doing good works, then we are showing that we put our trust in Jesus, that we put our trust in God. And so, obviously, it's very important that we are ready to do every good work, that we are ready to help out somebody. We may think that it's quite obvious that we should be ready to do a good work. But as, you know, you might be driving along somewhere and someone may have a flat tire, and you just think, well, I don't really have time, I better go on. I know that I've turned down helping somebody because I thought, well, it's late, I should be getting home, or I don't have time, I'm going to be late getting somewhere. And so I'm not really preparing myself. I'm not really ready to do good works. I'm not really ready to help somebody, only when it's convenient for me. And so it's important that we are ready to every good work, because we show our trust in God by doing those things, by not worrying about the things of this world and not putting our trust in our uncertain riches. Also this morning, are you ready to preach the gospel? Ready to preach the gospel? Romans chapter 1, verse number 15 says, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." Really, this is kind of Paul's opening statement to the letter to the Romans. He just tells them, "I'm ready to preach the gospel to you." It's a very simple statement, but it's also a very important one. Paul takes his time to recognize the importance of preaching the gospel to somebody. And he has prepared himself. He is ready to preach that gospel to them. So are you ready to preach the gospel to somebody this morning? I think it's obvious that we should say yes, that we need to say yes, because the gospel is what brings people to salvation. You know, what if we were asked about the gospel? What if we were asked about Jesus? You know, we would want to be prepared to tell them. It's something that we should be prepared for. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 15, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Here it says that we need to be ready always to give an answer. We are expected as Christians to be able to answer somebody if they ask us a question about our faith. We need to be able to tell them why we believe in the things that we do and why we do the things we do. And we are expected as Christians to do so. It's obviously an important factor in our Christian walk. If we can't tell somebody about Jesus, then you know, what are we going to do? What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be fruitful Christians. We're supposed to bring others to Christ. You know, how can we prepare ourselves better for preaching the gospel, for giving people answers? And that's simply by study. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We prepare ourselves to answer people by study, and so that we don't need to be ashamed, so that we don't have to say no because we don't know the answer. Now, we can obviously study if we don't know the answer to someone's question. We can study and get back to them. But I think that God would rather us just be able to go ahead and answer that question. I think it's important that we prepare ourselves every day to teach the gospel of Jesus to somebody, to be ready to give a simple answer to someone who may have a question about our faith. It's something very important, because we are taught that we need to be fruitful Christians, that we need to multiply and bring others to Christ. And so in preparing ourselves to do so, we study the Word of God so that We don't have to be ashamed that we do not know an answer, maybe, or we are not prepared to preach the gospel to somebody. Also, another question this morning is, are you ready to repent? Are you ready to repent this morning? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 5 and 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 5 and 6 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now, this is a very interesting passage to me. When I saw the being ready to repent, I kind of thought that was odd. I thought, well, shouldn't you always be ready to repent? Shouldn't you be prepared to do so? That's something that you need to do right now. It's not something that you need to take your time preparing for. Well, that's very true. But through reading this passage, I hope that you can see how repenting is somewhat of a process. First thing he says is casting down imaginations. No longer thinking of things that puts itself against the will of God, that is sinful. No longer thinking of those things. And in verse 6 he says, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. That sounds a lot like repentance. That sounds a lot like no longer doing the bad and now doing the good. That's exactly what it sounds like, and I think that's exactly what it means. We have to prepare ourselves mentally for spiritual warfare. Just before these verses, that's what Paul is teaching the brethren about. That the spiritual war that we fight is not with weapons, it's not with swords or shields, but it's with our mind. And so we have to cast down those imaginations. We have to no longer think about those things. We have to put ourselves in a position to succeed. Let's say that, you know, I'm an alcoholic, and I say, well, I don't want to do those things anymore. I want to change. So if my buddies invite me to go to the bar this weekend, and I go, but man, I really want to stop drinking, and I go to the bar, and you know, what do you think's going to happen? Well, I don't really think I'm going to quit being an alcoholic. I'm probably going to continue in those things. I'm not preparing myself by putting myself in a position to fail. And we can use that, we can use that for any sin, a problem that we may have in our life. Is if we put ourselves in situations to fail continually, then we are not truly ready to repent. We have to quit thinking on those things. We have to put ourselves in positions to succeed. And that's important for us this morning as we go through our lives. Are you living your lives continually putting yourself in a position to fail? Or are you trying to do better? Are you putting yourself in a position to succeed rather than fail? The last question, the question that each of you probably thought about when you saw the subject was, are you ready to go with the Lord? This certainly is one that I first think about when I hear this question, are you ready? Is, are you ready to go with the Lord? Are you ready to die? Are you ready to go with Him in this world? In Luke chapter 22 and verse 33, Luke chapter 22 and verse 33 says, and He said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with Thee, both into prison and to death. This is really a beautiful passage if you read it by itself. Peter is telling Jesus that he's ready to go with him. Jesus is about to be crucified. But Jesus knew better than to trust in those words, and he told him, no, you're going to, you know, reject me. You're going to reject me three times. And that's exactly what Peter did. Peter was not really ready to go with the Lord. He could, you know, talk the talk, but when it came to walking, he couldn't do it. He couldn't go with the Lord. He told him he's ready to go with him to prison and to death. Now, as Christians today, we certainly don't have the same fear of going to prison because of our faith in Jesus. The worst thing that would probably happen is you'd get called a few names on Facebook or something like that. I mean, your consequences of pronouncing your faith to Jesus really, you know, are minimal, aren't bad at all. However, it's the death part that really kind of gets to us sometimes. Is, are you ready to go with the Lord in death? In 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 6, Paul tells his confidence to Timothy. He says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. It's really a bold statement. to say, I'm ready to die. I'm ready to go with the Lord today. I'm ready to be offered up. You know, why did Paul make this statement to Timothy? Well, obviously, because he had confidence. He knew what he was doing is right, and he knew that he had done those things which are right. And so he felt very prepared to die, and I think he was. You know, are you prepared to go with the Lord this morning? Are you ready to die with Jesus? Are you ready to confess his name to those around you? It's very important that we are, and there's a couple reasons why. Because first off, the Lord is ready to judge. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 5 says, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? This who at the beginning of the verse is us. When we die, we are going to give account to God someday of the things that we have done, both good and bad. And it says that he is ready to judge the quick and the dead. God has always been ready to judge us, and he always will be. He's ready to judge us tonight. He's ready to go tomorrow. He can do it in 100 years. He could have done it 1,000 years ago. He's always ready. He is always ready to judge. And that's obviously one reason why we need to be ready to go with Jesus, that we need to be ready to die, is because God is ready to judge. And also, the second reason is because we don't know when he will come back. It's a scary truth to think of, but it is real. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 10, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 10, says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. This passage, really quite simple. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. If someone came up to me and said, hello, Brenton, I know exactly who you are. I know where you live. And he said tonight at about 11:30, he said, I'm going to come to your house and I'm going to break in and I'm going to steal all your things. And now, why would a thief just come up and say that to you? That's obviously not the thing to do if you're a thief. You're supposed to be sneaky. You're supposed to come at a time when they're not ready. Come late at night when it's dark, when people can't see you. If he were to tell you that, you would either do one or two things. You'd probably go ahead and try to take him out right there, which might not work. Or you're going to go back home and prepare yourself. You're going to go home and get your guns and load them up and, you know, wait till 11:30. And you'll gladly welcome him to your home. Now, obviously, this isn't the way it works with God. We don't know when Jesus will come back. And so why take the chance of living your life not preparing yourself? Why take the chance of living your life not being truly ready? And the way we prepare ourselves to go to the Lord is by preparing ourselves to do all these things we've talked about this morning. You know, being ready to every good work and doing those good works will prepare you to meet the Lord. Preparing yourself and preaching the gospel to Jesus will prepare you further to die, to meet the Lord. Preparing yourself to repent and repenting and no longer doing those evil things will prepare you to meet the Lord. I hope that you can grasp this message, is that we need to live our lives continually striving for further excellence. So, are you truly ready this morning? If the question is yes, that's great. Keep up the good work. Keep doing those things. Keep preparing yourself further. Don't quit doing good works. If you feel like you've done enough, keep doing more. That's what the Christian life is all about, is striving to do every good work. If you have brought a few souls to Christ, that's great. Go bring out some more. There's never enough Christians in this life. We need to keep going and keep doing those things. If you feel like you've changed everything you needed to change, that's great. Don't let yourself fall back into those temptations. Keep preparing yourself for success. And these things all just really have kind of a domino effect. Once you start getting one down, you can get the other down quite easily, and it'll all bless you, and it will be a blessing to your life, and you will be further prepared to go with the Lord in death. If the answer is no this morning, then you have a chance to make a change in your life, you have a chance to become a child of God. And by doing these steps, you can be saved and have your sins cleansed and washed away. In John chapter 3, in verse number 15, John chapter 3, verse number 15, that's actually verse 16. John chapter 3, verse number 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you believe that he is the Son of God, you can have your sins cleansed this morning. Also, Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. Luke chapter 13 and verse number 3 says, "I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." If we make a change in our lives, we've talked quite a bit about repentance this morning. If you make that change in your life and you have decided to live your life not for yourself but for Christ, then you can have a chance at salvation. You can have a chance at eternal life with God. Also, Matthew chapter 10, verse number 32. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 32. Says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." Jesus tells us that if we confess his name before others, he will confess our name before God. You know, how beautiful of a scene that must be, that on judgment day, God is there and we can't give him an answer that's good enough. We can't say anything that makes us seem righteous and holy, but Jesus will confess our name. He will say, "Father, this is one of mine. These are one of mine." Why take the chance of not preparing yourself when you can do these things and have a chance to go to heaven, to be saved? And also, Mark chapter 16 and verse number 16 says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." We have to be baptized in the watery grave of baptism.